Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, with my favorite worms in the house. Good evening, Lance and Lulu.
Good evening out there.
Good evening, everybody.
Ooh, it's a hot summer day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cranking now.
It is cranking, and it's dry. And that's okay for some of these plants because you've stopped watering on some things.
I stopped watering the winter grains. I had some rye and I had some wheat, and I watered them this weekend and no more water.
So those are going to start heading out?
They're headed out. They're going to dry out. And I have some Tibetan barley that's completely headed out. I'll probably water that at least one more time and let that dry out. And stuff. So those, and then the garlic. I obviously have stuff.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we? Oh, let me give the phone numbers. We had some terrific calls last week. So we love
that. Come on, you guys. Bring it, bring it.
Yeah. 527-4868 866 KVNF now. You can email us worm@kvnf.org. We had a lot on our list and so many good calls last week. So let's do a garlic report. Because we're talking about the number of leaves that were drying up, and where are we this week?
Mm-hmm. A week later.
A week later.
A week later.
Clever.
Yeah, two or three leaves. And I noticed that they always say that the softnecks don't have seeds, but they actually do. And they're on the stem, right above the bulb, about 2 inches above the bulb. They come out the side.
Oh, right.
And I actually have my softneck that's drying out the quickest right now. Those bulbs are forming. Those little boobles or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the side shoot, side seeds.
And they're on the stem. They're not down on the bulb itself.
Like an elephant garlic throws those great big ones that are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think I've stopped watering all the garlic. I got the scapes off the other day.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
are you eating them?
Somebody is eating them. It's way too many for me. Now I got 2.5 bags of scapes.
Oh, wow.
They're like
lovely.
I did cook some up yesterday, and I'll cook some up tomorrow, but it was way too much. So
yeah, next year when I get a lot, I'm going to have more garlic next year. I'm going to just dry them all. Mm-hmm. They're like little garlic candy. They are so good. My favorite thing is an egg with too many scapes and some basil.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm. Really good. So I'm going to water my garlic one more time.
One more time?
Yeah, I do a lot of hand watering at night because it's kind of the way my garden is set up. So I just do that. But you know, something to think about when you're watering, whether it's with your, especially if you're using a hose, make sure you get the hot water out.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And your hose is laying out in the sunshine.
Man, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Mine was so hot. It was. But it's great if you want to kill something with it. You know?
Like maybe an ant pile.
Or something. Boiling water.
Yeah. It's right there at your disposal.
Mm-hmm. And so when the garlic comes out, I know you're getting ready for other beds or fall planting. What's going in the garlic bed?
Beets.
Beets for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I have three different areas. So one area is going to be the fall peas, which I'll plant in the last week of July, somewhere around there. And then the other two, I will plant pinto beans. Now, I don't get a full crop, but I still get a crop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that's going to be, what, mid-July you're going to plant?
Mid-July I will plant. They'll be up in 6 days. Because the soil's so warm, and if you water them right then, as soon as planting them, they all come up.
And the water's getting warm, too. My irrigation water is warming up.
Yeah, well, the well water's never warm.
No, yours is the same.
Yeah.
55.
Yeah.
Earth temperature. Yeah, which is cold, really.
It's very chilly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so just be careful when you're watering, for sure. Mm-hmm. And if you have plants in pots. Oh, my God, especially if you have black pots in the sun, pay attention. Uh-huh. They are going to get hot during the day.
Yeah.
The little plants are going to just be going, what? You must be high. I'm sweating to death and you're going to die.
Melting.
I'm melting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they, you know, but if you do anything for them at all, they'll snap out of it. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. They're all right.
So constant watching the watering and weeding.
Water, weeding.
Thinning.
Yeah.
What are you thinning now?
Carrots. I got one more bed of carrots to do, which will start next weekend. And
so that would be bed number five that has not been thinned.
No.
It's up, though.
It's up.
Okay.
Yeah. And let's see, what else? I thinned the millet. The pearl millet's thinned to about 6 to 8 inches.
Wow, that much?
Well, millet, I can thin it to 12 and it'd be just fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never grew millet. I mean, I don't grow any grains. I don't have the room.
Zinnias have been thinned. They need to be thinned one more time because they're 4 inches, and it'd be better to have them at 6 to 8.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my zinnias need to be thinned. I'm going to plant them all over the place.
Is that working out? Are those little babies?
Yeah, it's going to work. Oh, the babies all lived.
Nice.
They all lived, which is a miracle.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and then in another spot, I don't know, it's the same thing in this spot every year. And it's earwigs, and I'm pretty sure it's mostly earwigs.
Mm-hmm.
They even got in the hummingbird water. Now, how they climbed all the way up the side of the gate, all the way across the metal chain that Wesley welded together. That's really cool on top of the gate. And then they crawled down the little connector, all the way down the big bottle, and,
and
there they were.
They might have flown.
Oh, yeah. No, these were
Earwigs can fly.
Really?
I know,
really?
But they were
never
little.
Seen that.
They were
yeah,
little.
No, it's a night. How have we ever seen them?
And that's the thing, too. I think that's what munches on my zinnias. And then I only had like two spaghetti squashes that came up. One of them got chomped seriously.
Wow.
But I'm on it.
Okay.
It's going to live, I think.
Yeah.
But it was the same thing, you know, that eating from the outside in.
Mm-hmm.
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 And what is it we do for earwigs? Is it?
Well.
Depends where it is. Evil thoughts.
I put diatomaceous earth out.
Yeah.
Ashes,
somebody just
ashes
said some
work too, a little bit.
A little bit olive oil mixed with soy sauce.
I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
And friends using that, and it's trapping a lot. You can also make any like
little sugar mixture.
No, take your
old beer.
When you cut your grapefruit in half, take that skin and that cup of grapefruit, stick it upside down, and in the morning it'll be full of earwigs. And you just go on. Take care of them.
Yeah, do something evil. Okay, so you can also take a newspaper or anything.
Cardboard with all those holes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just roll it up gently, get it wet, put it out there. Next morning,
it will be full. So it's just, you know, some places they're just overpopulated. I have lots of earwigs in certain spots.
Yeah, me too.
This year.
That's the thing.
This year is not always a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And certain, like the Swiss chard is just. It's got holes, and you take the stems apart, and it's nothing but earwigs down there. But I've noticed that they're eating all the eggs of the leafhopper.
The leafhoppers?
Not the leafhopper, excuse
cabbage
me.
Cabbage worm.
The miner, leaf miner.
Leaf miner.
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
Because earwigs in their normal or good population are a very good predator, and they eat the eggs and larvae of lots of other insects. But when they get large populations, then they're a problem.
Then they're pesty.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was in my collards with my little paintbrush. You know, every 3 or 4 days. Now that it's hot, I'm going to have to pay more attention.
Yeah.
And what do you do with the paintbrush? What's your method?
I brush off the little eggs.
The eggs of the
cabbage worm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you have to pay attention, too, because those new tiny little leaves that are forming in this way down in the center, you got to check them because that's where they
like to get down inside.
Tiny
there.
Little baby green worms. Yeah, you got to get in there.
Yeah.
But they'll all get separated this week or next week and probably this week,
the
collards. So they'll get transplanted and separated a little bit.
Okay.
Stood up. Why do they always fall over? What's up with that?
Oh, that long stem?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then you're trying to have them in a row, and they're all in each other's way, and they're, you know.
Yeah. Well, I planted the cabbage for fall last week, and they came up in about 4 or 5 days.
Wow.
And I have 56 heads.
Wow.
And 30 of them are mammoth red rocks, and I'm going to take 25 of those to store for seed crop next year.
Next year.
Wow.
And stuff. But how do the flea beetles find them? They're just seedlings, and they're already there. I mean, so I'm going to go dust them with wood ashes right now. Yeah, because it repels them.
Yeah.
But how do, you know, they're only seedlings.
Right, 4 or 5 days. And yeah.
Right, and
so
how do they find them? That's always the mystery to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when you read about old battles in the West, you know?
Yeah.
And where the Indians, the white, whoever finds each, they're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. There's not enough room for you out there. You got to thump on each other.
All right. 527-4868-866 KVNF now. Email us worm@kvnf.org. And David from Cedar Edge has a story for us. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
All right. So I want to tell you my earwig story.
Oh, good.
This was years ago. We had imported some soil during a very wet year, put it on the garden, didn't really let it work in that well, and planted a pretty nice garden. The garden came up really well. We still have a lot of moisture. And all of a sudden, the plants, which had been doing really well, started to be decimated and couldn't figure out what the problem was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, went out during the day. Since it was a wet year, there weren't a lot of grasshoppers. And I just couldn't figure it out. So about one night I went out there just as it was getting dark, and I started looking at the plants, and they were completely covered with earwigs.
Oh, my gosh.
And
just shattered.
They were eating everything, all different sizes, the large males, you know, the females, the little ones. And everything.
Oh, God.
So,
scary.
So I, that year, I developed a new skill. I called it wigging. So I put on a headlamp and used rubber gloves because, of course, earwigs, when you pinch them, some of them will have a little tweezers, and they'll try to get you, and they can, you know, you can feel that.
Yeah.
So I put on rubber gloves, and I had a headlamp, and every night for about 3 weeks,
I
went out
already.
There and pinched every single earwig I could find.
Nice work.
Wow.
And I finally got a handle on it.
Persistence.
So, but it took a long time, but it was just for about a half an hour, 45 minutes. I would be out there, you know, looking for earwigs.
Right.
Wow.
So anyway, that was one. That was an interesting season. People would call and say, "Well, where's David?" And he's out wigging. He'd be wigging.
Yeah.
Hey, that's and good. Then the other thing I was going to say, I have one question real quick at the end, but the other thing was, I grow a lot of garlic, and consider some early season, some mid-season, and some late season. So my early garlic, I actually harvested. It's the soft neck, certain kinds of soft neck.
Mm-hmm.
I actually harvested 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And it's hanging. And if I leave it in too long, then a couple of the outer layers get too much mold on them. And so it loses too many layers. So,
okay.
And then mid-season, I, you know, harvested last week, and then late season, I took the scapes off. It's mostly hardneck, and I'll harvest it a little bit later. So
Okay. Anyway.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then the final thing is, the question is, Lance, I have a question for you. Do you fertilize your carrots?
Only in the soil prep. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. I have in the past side dressed with compost.
Yeah.
You know, if I had time and stuff, and I could, but the past few years, I haven't done that.
You haven't done it because you do such a good job with the soil.
Yeah, well, every bed gets, you know, 7 or more wheelbarrows of compost. Then when I plant it, it gets topped with compost.
Right.
Yes. Right, okay.
So,
yeah.
Okay, well, that's what I needed to know. Thank you
all
very
right.
much.
All right, thank you,
a great
David.
Story,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I
like the picture that it conjures up.
Yeah, I do too. Out there wigging. But, you know, earwigs can bite.
Yes.
I mean, they don't pinch you with those pinchers. They bite you with their little mouths.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, their little wigging mouths. Yeah, it's right here in the Pests of the West book.
There you go.
So, yeah.
All right, 527-486-8866 KVNF now. And Birdie in Delta is on the line. Hi, Birdie.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
I have a for elecampane, chicory, and American arnica. And unfortunately, the place that I ordered them from, they got lost in March, so I didn't get them in May. And I did stratify them and then plant them, but I've had no luck getting the elecampane and the arnica to grow up. Their seeds look a little bit like, maybe a little bit like marigold seeds. And then the chicory came up, but it only made it to about a quarter of an inch. And then all of them, one by one, took off. I mean, they left.
The plants just died, gone.
Just died, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, the thought on the ones not germinating is pH. Mm. Some things are really sensitive to pH.
The elecampane?
Yeah.
Yeah, elecampane, yeah.
Yeah.
And the arnica, this is just a guess. I've never grown it. I've heard of them.
I have elecampane in my garden.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, and it's right now it is the most glorious plant in the garden. But it moves around and it seeds itself.
Mm. So, right. If you don't cut the heads off before the seed comes,
And it's kind of a puffy thing, kind of almost like a dandelion, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like you're saying, more like a little marigold seed.
So it could have been too warm a soil also.
Okay.
Going in late.
Yeah, it was going in really late. I really would have preferred to have had it, you know, in March or April, but...
Yeah, but you didn't, and so there you are, right.
Yeah. So you think that I would probably have to wait until next spring to be able to actually have a successful planting because of the heat and everything now?
I suspect that's it. Do you still got seed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Lulu, when do you plant your elecampane?
I don't.
You don't anymore. It just goes to seed. And
I just wait for it to show up somewhere, and it always does.
Okay. Yeah. I suspect you might want to plant that in the fall, in November.
I would say that, too. I would give it a try in November.
But if I plant it in the fall, won't I have to keep it in pots over the winter?
No, plant it in the ground.
Plant it in the ground.
And don't water it or... anything. Just let it freeze and thaw.
Yeah.
And remember, mark where you planted it. And if it hasn't come up in March, you can start hand watering.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That, something like that, right? Because, I mean, honest, I don't do anything to mine, and it just shows up. Mm-hmm. And, So I'm thinking that the seed could also be maybe you planted too deep.
That's always
No.
Okay.
No, they don't need sun to germinate, so I can't plant the deep at all.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, because, like I said, the only hope mine have is they land somewhere where that seed can do its things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I did research on them before I got the seed, and I really thought, you know, that I had a handle on it, but then COVID-19 came along and our seed got lost in the mail, and we had to reorder it, and by the time we got it, it was so late.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about it. I just got some seeds today, too.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When did that seed come?
It actually came in May, and I planted it probably the second week of May, first or second week of May.
This is just another thought on troubleshooting is maybe the package got too hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something I have no clue, but if you know, it could have gotten the package could have gotten too high.
Yeah, and my other
shipping
thought too was how long did you stratify them for?
About it'd be like 72 hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's good.
That's good. In the freezer or just in the fridge?
In the freezer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that should have worked.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, November planting, will definitely cold stratify.
You know, right. And,
that's the next available plant spot.
Yeah. There you go, right?
And, you know, if you're out of seeds or you run out of seeds, you know, mine obviously are climatized. So, you know, give us a call again, email us or something, and I'll get some seeds to you.
Perfect.
Okay.
Because I have tons.
I will let you know that I planted a German calendula that has exceptionally high oil and gold chamomile. And those both, I recommend those both came up in the garden really well.
Nice.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
You almost can't screw those up ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Birdie.
Awesome.
Sounds like she's got some nice plants going on mm-hmm. down
yeah,
there
sounds,
in Delta.
It sounds very herbal medicinal. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Hey, well, let's bring Joy here in Paonia into the conversation. How are you tonight, Joy?
Doing well, and you?
We're good.
We're hanging in there.
Cool. Well, I have a question about a weed. And I don't know what they're called, but you see them everywhere. They've got like little rows of yellow flowers on them. You see them on the roadside everywhere. If you mow that down when they're in flower, will those flowers turn to seed and just reseed themselves?
How tall are these flowers?
She's talking about yellow clover.
That's what mm-hmm. I was thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Saw some
is
of that
it
today.
Clover?
Yeah, it's a biennial.
It's a biennial.
And if it's in the green stage or blooming, it's not. Those seeds won't mature if you mow it.
Okay.
Because
I keep cutting them back, and they just keep blooming, teeny, weeny little things, close to the ground, you can't really get at them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's their style. And then they'll let go some seeds even when they're teeny weeny like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what do you do? So I don't know. How much do you have? How much is that?
Well, we're on 20 acres. But there's only like little patches here and there. You know, I've just been trying to keep them like away from the house and the garden mm-hmm. area.
Yeah.
Because you can't control it all, right?
No.
So I just keep cutting it, and then they keep coming back. I'm going, well, you know, if I just mow it down and leave those flowers sitting there, are they going to just re-sprout next year?
Not from that exact plant. But they're a biennial, so they'll drop those seeds, and the next year you'll have this green growth, and then you won't see the flowers, and then the following year, that's why you see them on the sides of the road intermittently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't see them
every year.
Every year, there's years where they have banner showings.
Yeah. It's this year,
and this year is one.
This is the year. Okay, I was wondering why they didn't bloom last year.
Yeah, they were
so thrilled.
So here's a thought.
We were just getting ready.
Yeah, corn gluten is a broadleaf weed killer. Corn gluten. Mm-hmm. Corn gluten from corn.
Gluten.
And they found that it will it inhibit the seed germination of broadleaves and also of growth. So even though you're mowing it, the stuff that stays below the mower will make a few seeds.
Yeah, it will.
So put that corn gluten out this fall and also in the spring, and it will take care of those clover for the year.
Yeah, it'll
if
do,
you
it'll
do it 2 years in a row,
think about that
because
sure.
it's a biennial. Okay. So you got to do it 2 years in a row, and
got
you can
it.
Get and you can order corn gluten. You'll have to look it up, but you can get it.
Okay, all right. Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joy.
Now I'm just going to call you next week with no problems at all just to tell you guys how much I appreciate what you do.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Joy. We appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate everybody
calls
listening and calling. And
all right.
It's a new world. That's what we're doing here.
Okay, guys.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, 527-4868-866 KVNF now, and we have an email from Lita in Redvale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so she says, if you know that it will frost one night, would you water your plants or keep them dry?
Huh.
Huh.
I mean, she's down there in Redville.
A hush
I mean,
fell
it can
over
get
the crowd. Yeah. Stump the chump. Yeah. Take your pick.
Yeah. I would water them.
You would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as the water, if it really is going to frost, the water, as the moisture in the ground as it's freezing, mm-hmm. lets off heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiny bit.
We've talked about that before, like the timing of it.
The
just
timing.
Getting to that right temperature.
And you don't want them to go into a frost stressed.
Which would be dry. Mm-hmm.
But you don't want them to have a lot of moisture either, because that's what kills them. Their little cells explode because mm-hmm. of the water freezing.
Yeah, well.
And expanding.
Water a little
water bit. Water them and cover them. Water half of them. Don't water the,
You'll see what happens.
Hedge your bets, girl.
And always, you can always spray. If you know what's coming, you can always spray with kelp.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just to boost them
or
a little
valerian.
Bit.
Or valerian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Valerian, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the freeze?
Yeah.
Valerian is good for frost protection.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. You have to make a tea out of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just good frost protection somehow, even just in your garden.
Mm-hmm. Just
the biodynamics.
Yeah,
like
growing
it. Doing
mm-hmm.
that. Yeah. I have it growing all over the place. That's another one that, you know, people think is a pain in the neck. Well, my garden's little, you know, so I can micromanage.
Yeah.
And that's an advantage.
It is
for sure.
An advantage.
Yeah.
Lita also asked Lance if you have a farm stand by your place. I think she's maybe getting at what do you do with all your food?
Oh, I do not have a farm stand because I'd be my own worst enemy. Chitting and chatting like that.
Yeah, place to visit.
And giving it away. Right.
And,
just take that. So it's been sitting in the sun.
Have friends that I sell stuff to and give things away, and I even bring a bowl into the radio station now and then.
That's true. That
And then I sell stuff to the health food stores here, mm-hmm. and I do have a friend from Gunnison that comes down every 2-3 weeks and takes things up to the Gunnison Farmers Market.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Can we just do a quick, are we having anybody else calling?
Not yet, but I want to thank you, Lance, for always sharing your food. It's delicious.
Yes, always great.
Oh, we do have someone else on
Hi,
the line.
Jer.
It's Jer from Earth Friendly Supply. Hi, Jer.
He's got corn gluten.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Hey. So back to that frost thing with the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something called dewpoint.
Sure.
Okay.
And whenever you spray your plants and get the humidity much higher at night, you raise the dew point. And the dew point is what sets the level of when it's going to frost. Okay? And so the more humidity, the less damage you'll have to your plants during a frost.
Okay.
Oh,
the
cool.
less humidity, the drier it is, because cold actually dries out the air.
Sure.
The less humidity, the more damage you'll have to your plants. So that's why, like, down in Florida, when they're growing strawberries and oranges, and they're like, oh, we're going to have a frost, they'll turn on the sprinklers.
The
and I do the same thing. I'll wait for it to get right down to about even 30, and then I'll go out and spray stuff with a mist. And what it does is it sets up a protective barrier on the plant, on the fruit.
Okay,
cool.
And so that freezes. Instead of the moisture on the edge of your fruit freezing.
Sure.
And so it's actually better to absolutely water as much as you can and give them silica and sugars if possible.
Wow.
And that will prevent your freezing.
Wow. All right, great.
All right, good to
know.
More humidity, less damage. You're rocking it at Earth Friendly.
6,200 feet next to the 12,000 foot mountain.
Yeah,
right. And that'll work for Lita down there in Redvale. So.
Yeah, you bet. There you go.
Thank you, Jer.
Well, you bet, guys.
All right, thanks.
Always a pleasure listening to you all.
Okay. Well, and thank you, Earth Friendly, for sponsoring As the Worm Turns. We appreciate that. And we are out of time. Thank you, Jer.
We're going to just do one quick thing about the corn earwigs or the cornworms.
Okay.
Yeah, you wanted to talk about that.
Real quick. Best time to put the Bacillus thuringiensis, or BT, on your corn if you're worried about cornworms is as soon as those silks start to show up.
Because the silk is what's attracting the silk with the pollen, the two together is what's attracting that moth.
Moth, and then the moth comes, and then it puts its eggs, and then the eggs go down into the kernel, and when they hatch, you don't get corn.
Well, you get pretty messy. Anyway.
Really awful. Ugly corn. Ugly, yeah.
So when it gets silky?
So when it gets silky.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And the other thing is the purslane. Someone asked me about purslane, purslane is great, and it's super high in omega-3s. So all you have to do is keep it from taking over.
Yeah.
Just keep it away from...
It's a ground cover?
Yeah, it's a ground cover.
Yeah.
So just don't let it take over.
Yeah, just leave it there. I mean, hoe where you need
keep
to
it under
put
control.
Your plants. And, yeah.
I always weed mine out, and I don't like it, so...
Yeah.
All right. Lots of good information tonight. Thank you.
Purslane does have quite a taproot for what it is.
Yeah.
So it actually is breaking up the soil.
It's beneficial.
Yeah.
And it covers us. It's kind of like an organic growing mulch.
Yeah.
It
keeps some moisture in because it's loaded with moisture itself. It's kind of a succulent.
Okay, so not really detrimental. Just keep it under control.
Yeah, just don't let it take over the
world. It's used
choke other things out
as a food a lot in the Middle East.
Okay, purslane.
Yeah.
All right, worms and listeners,
we're done.
Thanks so much for tuning in tonight, and thank you for your calls and questions. We'll be back next Tuesday for another edition of As the Worm Turns. It is Tara coming up with One Woman's Perspective. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good evening.
I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.